Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, this weekend is July 4th weekend, obviously, and I'm sure you're not overlooking that. I'm sure that most of you will find yourselves caught up in some sort of celebration tomorrow, and that's great. You might want to celebrate my birthday on Monday, by the way, but in any case, I hope that your celebration of the birth of these United States, coming together in agreement that they wanted to be free and considered themselves free and independent from Great Britain, I hope that your celebration of that will be a happy time. Certainly, if you look back on the history, not just of the United States, but on the history of the planet, what happened here in this country, in the sovereignty of God, was something that made a lot of other good things possible. That is not to say that the people or the government of the United States have always been good and godly in our conduct. It is to say that a lot of good has come from America, the United States, that is, sorry to our Canadian friends, being independent of Great Britain. There's come a lot of good out of that. I think there's even come good things for the United Kingdom. I think that Great Britain and its various other colonies around the world have benefited from what happened here in these United States. But as you prepare to celebrate, I hope that your celebration will not be just about hot dogs or fireworks or whatever else you do to celebrate the 4th of July. But I hope that your celebration tomorrow and whatever celebrating you do this weekend will ultimately be focused on the kingdom of God and what God has done for us, which is absolutely amazing. Because if you want to declare your independence from another country, such as ours from Great Britain, that's one thing. But those who declared that also declared their dependence upon God. Let me point out a few things from the Declaration of Independence, which was passed in Congress July 4th, 1776. It says, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation." Now please notice in that opening paragraph, the appeal was not just to the laws of nature, but the laws of nature's God. And so the second paragraph begins with those familiar words. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Again, please notice, the appeal is that every human is endowed by our Creator with certain rights. The reason we have the rights we do is not because of our government. Our government is to secure rights that were given to us by our Creator. Sadly, we now live in an age when our government, for the most part, has made it illegal for government schools to teach children that they have a creator, much less that our rights come from the creator. But it was not always so. Throughout most of our history, there was a recognition, and certainly at our founding, there was a recognition that the rights that we are asserting come from our Creator, not from some impersonal cosmic force, but from a Creator, capital C, a Creator who has given us these rights. That's why there was a belief that we could assert those rights, even if it meant breaking away from Great Britain. And as they concluded this document, even though it was penned by a deist named Thomas Jefferson, he knew the people to whom he was writing, the people to whom he was appealing, and the people before whom he had to make the case, they were people of faith. And so representing them, representing the United States, this is what was written. "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." And he goes on and says, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Now, folks, that is the founding of this country. That is what happened on July 4th. The Constitution would come later, and we can talk about that in a moment. But I want you to understand we're celebrating what is considered the birthday of the United States, July 4th. That's what tomorrow is about. What did they do on July 4th? They did not just declare independence from Great Britain. That certainly was the thing that got everybody's attention. But they declared independence from Great Britain on the basis of their faith in God, God the Creator, nature's God, God who provides divine providence, which would protect this action and these people. They appealed to the Supreme Judge of the world. That's the way they referred to God. He is the Supreme Judge of the world. And whether the United States Supreme Court recognizes him as such doesn't affect whether or not he is. If I do not believe in gravity, gravity doesn't go away. If I do not believe in germs, that won't keep me healthy. If I do not believe that there is a God who is the creator of all things, from whom we derive our rights and liberties, that doesn't change the fact that we have a creator, that nature all around us bears witness to the character and wisdom and power of the creator, and that it is from this creator that we receive the rights we have. And folks, if you get crossways with the Supreme Judge of the universe, you have not done yourself a favor. And if a country, if a government or a culture decides we don't have to follow God's law, we don't have to do what God says, well, that doesn't remove our obligation. That doesn't change it so that God is no longer in control. God is in control. God is perfectly in control. And if you want to see what his wrath looks like, read Romans 1. Because there we see that when God pours out his wrath on a people, it takes the form of his saying, "Have it your way. Have it your way. Go ahead. He gave them over to do these various things. So I believe that's where we are right now as a culture. And to a great extent, that's where we are as a government. The people of our country, in vast numbers, have said, we do not want to acknowledge God as the judge. We do not believe that he is the supreme judge of the world. And folks, if you take that approach, you're in a lot of trouble. The Constitution of the United States would come along later. The states coming together and forming federal powers, that would come along later. I would encourage you, by the way, if you really want a patriotic celebration, to get hold of a copy of the Declaration of Independence, read it, share it with your family, read the Constitution. It won't take you long. You might think, well, that's a huge document. People go and become scholars of constitutional law. I've got a copy right here in my hand that would easily fit in a shirt pocket. And you know what? One of the things it tells us is the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, folks, that First Amendment is one that sadly has been completely twisted and distorted by so many people so that now they think that for the government to acknowledge the existence of God is somehow a violation of the separation of church and state. What it says is, Congress shall make no law. It doesn't say that a state couldn't say, we are a Christian state. It doesn't say that. That's a misapplication by judges much, much later. I'm not asking that one of the states please do that. Though most of the states did acknowledge not only God, but the Lord Jesus Christ when they set up their state constitutions. Go back and look at most of your state constitutions here in the U.S., and you'll find that over and over and over. However, this First Amendment simply says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Doesn't mean showing respect for an establishment of religion. It means regarding an establishment of religion. Congress shall make no law about an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. Now, please understand this. Congress, the United States Congress, which is the only body empowered to make federal law, contrary to many of the courts, but and contrary to the president's executive orders, which often have been put in the place of law. But the way the government was set up, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That means that for our federal courts to say that some high school can't have prayer before a football game or allow the valedictorian to share a testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ because that somehow violates separation of church and state, these are people who are either too stupid to read the plain English of the Bill of Rights, which was a necessary series of amendments to the Constitution without which the Constitution would not be ratified by the original states that ratified it. But the folks who are making those kinds of decisions are either too stupid to understand the English language or, as I believe is really the case, they don't give a rip what it really says. They don't have integrity. They don't care about the oath that they swore to uphold the Constitution. They are instead pretending that the Constitution prohibits their allowing citizens to engage freely in the exercise of religion. What this says is, our Constitution guarantees that the federal government won't prohibit the free exercise of religion. And that has been turned into our federal government often interfering with the free exercise of religion in the name of not having a law respecting an establishment of religion. I mean, folks, we've really fallen so far, partly because people don't pay attention anymore to what the writing says. I would submit to you that we need to realize how far we've fallen. And as you celebrate tomorrow the freedoms that are ours, remember where those freedoms come from. They don't come from the courts. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from our military, though I thank God for the military that seeks to protect our freedoms. Those freedoms come from God, the judge of the world, the ruler of the universe, the creator of all things. We've got to take a break in just a moment, but we'll be back to talk more about this. When I was growing up, I listened to Christian radio quite a bit. Several of the preachers that I heard made a great impact on my life. I am sorry to say that I didn't get to thank all of them. I did get to thank some. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Whether you want to thank me or not, at least let me know you're listening. Contact us by going to the website, pastorwood.org. Check out the materials there. Let us hear from you. Let us know where you listen and when you listen. And if you think it's helpful, please tell us. And if you think it's not, go ahead and tell us that too. But we would really appreciate hearing from you so that we know where our new listeners are. We are delighted that we have the privilege of coming into your vehicle, your home, your computer, wherever you're listening. We want to hear from you. Please contact us today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, folks, we're talking about July 4th. We're talking about the birth of the United States. We're talking about our break away from Great Britain in order that we might be a free country. And if you are like me, you are grateful for the past, you're grateful for the history, and you lament a lot of what's going on in the present. But I want you to realize Jesus told us that in this world, our life is not all about the government. It's not to say that Christians shouldn't be in the military or shouldn't be in political office. It is to say, don't put your hopes in this worldly government to get you through. John 18:36, Jesus is meeting with Pilate, and he's going to be crucified, and he knows it, and he's already told his disciples that that's what's coming. But now when Pilate is talking to him, Jesus says in John 18:36 and 37, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." Pilate said, "You are a king then." Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. In fact, just a few chapters earlier in John 14, verses 1 through 7, Jesus is speaking to his disciples now, not to Pilate. And he says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Folks, that is why we celebrate, regardless of whether we're U.S. citizens or whether we are living abroad. or whether we are going through a sad chapter in our own country's history, whatever our circumstances, we rejoice because our citizenship, our ultimate home, is not here. It is in heaven. And we are looking forward to the fact that Jesus is coming again. We know that because he promised. He said he's coming, and he said that what he's doing right now is preparing a place for us. Think how wonderful it will be one day to be with him for all eternity, forever. Jesus said he's preparing a place for us. So I do care deeply about what happens here in this country. I especially care about whether or not the government interferes with the spread of the gospel. I care deeply as to whether or not our courts allow us to practice our faith freely. But not because we'll have to stop practicing our faith if the courts interfere. Not because if the government says stop preaching the gospel, we're going to stop preaching the gospel. I just care because the more freely we are able to express our faith and minister to others, it makes it easier to do more. But I realize the day could come here, as it has in other lands, when it will be a much more costly sacrifice to serve the Lord, to preach the gospel, to reach out to the lost. And yet, the church goes forward. One of the places where the church is growing magnificently is in China, where there's been horrible persecution for decades, for generations now. And yet, God is at work. God is at work, and the gospel is going forth. When I look at my brothers and sisters in Eastern Europe who suffered under an atheistic regime for 70 years, the Soviets did all they could to completely blot out Christianity. They didn't succeed. A lot of churches were closed. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ continued to grow. And there have been so many people who've come to faith in Jesus Christ in the years since the Soviet Union collapsed because there was a hunger, there was a thirst, and many, many people knew neighbors who had throughout those dark years been faithful to the gospel. When I was in Ukraine and I met with people who had served in prison back during Stalin's time, and then in the years subsequently under Gorbachev and even in the years since, they had suffered. And their neighbors bore testimony to the fact that we always admired these people for their courage, but we were not willing to join them. And now we are so ashamed because we know that they were right. They were living the truth, and we now want to repent and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, it was a beautiful thing to spend time with those people, to see churches planted in Ukraine and people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. If you, living in this country where it is still so easily available to receive the gospel, to hear the good news, broadcasters, motels with Bibles in every room. I mean, it's all around us. If you in this country find it hard to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what will you do when the price goes up? What will you do when the government says no more? What will you do regarding Christian stewardship when the government says there's no longer a tax deduction for giving to a Christian ministry? What will you do at that point? Do you give now for a tax write-off, or do you give because you want to say thank you to Jesus? What's your reason? Let me tell you something, folks. We are blessed beyond what most people in history could imagine. We have so many freedoms, so much prosperity, and yet in the midst of it, there is so little zeal on the part of many for the things of God. This weekend, I would challenge you to rededicate yourself to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I plead with you to do it now while you have breath, while you have the opportunity. Cry out to God and ask Him to save you. Stop trying to run your own life. Turn it over to Him. Ask Him to be your Lord and Master. Thank Him for sending Jesus to die on the cross. Say, Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus to pay for my sins. Please take control of my life. But I want to tell you something else. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to right now determine that whatever battles may come, whatever difficulties lie ahead, you're going to continue to be faithful and serve the Lord, knowing that your citizenship is in heaven. Because that is what we ought to be celebrating all weekend long. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Happy 4th of July tomorrow.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.